I know the words of that song don't come from Scripture itself, but they really reflect a lot of great themes of Scripture. Some of them we would do well to think upon, such as praying to God that He would show us the power of our sin, and also that we would loathe the evil and flee from Satan's snares. Sometimes we're sorry about how our sin makes us feel. Sometimes we're sorry about how our sin embarrasses us. And the world has a solution to our sin. If you've ever read Pilgrim's Progress, there's a worldly wise man who has a solution to our sin. But worldly wise man in our day looks a lot different than probably in John Bunyan's day. A lot of times the worldly wise men of our day looks like behavioral psychology, which says we can change a person's behavior by changing their environment. We don't have to worry about their heart. It doesn't matter what's in their heart. But the Bible tells us we need our hearts changed. We need to be sorry about our sins from our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings that to life. And just something to think about. You just find yourself, sometimes I find myself singing these songs during the week. When you think about that, it should bring to mind some things from Scripture that we need to be really sorry from the heart about our sins. And the Holy Spirit works that in us. Well, we're continuing our study of Jeremiah. We're almost to the end, but before we get to the end today, we have one big chapter to read. I told you last week when it was a big chapter that you could rejoice that it was a shorter chapter than what we would have this week. Well, here we are. It was 46 verses last week. It's 64 this week. So follow along as we read through God's Word, through Jeremiah chapter 51, which is really a continuation of the chapter that started in chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 51, page 679 in the Pew Bibles. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will stir up the spirit of a destroyer against Babylon, against the inhabitants of Leb-Kamai. And I will send to Babylon winnowers, and they shall winnow her, and they shall empty her hand when they come against her from every side on the day of trouble. Let not the archer bend his bow, and let him not stand up in his armor. Spare not her young men. Devote to destruction all her army. They shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and wounded in her streets. For Israel and Judah have not been forsaken by the Lord, by their God, the Lord of hosts. But the land of the Chaldeans is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon. Let everyone save his life. Be not cut off in her punishment, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, the repayment he is rendering her. Babylon was the golden cup in the Lord's hand, making all the earth drunken. The nations drank of her wine. Therefore the nations went mad. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she was not healed. Forsake her, and let us go each to his own country, for her judgment has reached up to heaven and has been lifted up even to the skies. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Sharpen the arrows. Take up the shields. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes because his purpose concerning Babylon is to destroy it. For that is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has planned and done what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, rich in treasures, your end has come. The thread of your life is cut. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as many as locusts, and they shall raise the shout of victory over you. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he makes mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and he brings forth wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is he who is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are my hammer and my weapon of war. With you I break nations in pieces. With you I destroy kingdoms. With you I break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I break in pieces the chariot and the charioteer. With you I break in pieces man and woman. With you I break in pieces the old man and the youth. With you I break in pieces the young man and the young woman. With you I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I break in pieces the farmer and his team. With you I break in pieces governors and commanders. I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea before your very eyes for all the evil they have done in Zion, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, declares the Lord, which destroys the whole earth. I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags and make you a burnt mountain. No stone shall be taken from you for a corner, and no stone for a foundation, but you shall be a perpetual waste, declares the Lord. Set up a standard on the earth. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations for war against her. Summon against her the nations, Ararat, Mene, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Bring up horses like bristling locusts. Prepare the nations for war against her, the kings of the Medes with their governors and deputies in every land under their dominion. The land trembles and writhes in pain, for the Lord's purpose against Babylon, the Lord's purposes against Babylon stand to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The warriors of Babylon have ceased fighting. They remain in their strongholds. Their strength has failed. They have become women. Her dwellings are on fire. Her bars are broken. One runner runs to meet another, and another messenger to meet another, to tell the king of Babylon that his city is taken on every side. The fords have been seized. The marshes are burned with fire, and the soldiers are in panic. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has rinsed me out. The violence done to me and to my kinsmen be upon Babylon. Let the inhabitant of Zion say, my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Let Jerusalem say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your cause and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. And Babylon shall become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, a horror and a hissing without inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions. They shall growl like lions' cubs. While they are inflamed, I will prepare them a feast and will make them drunk that they may become merry. Then sleep, a perpetual sleep, and not wake, declares the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams and male goats. How Babylon is taken, the praise of the whole earth seized. How Babylon has become a horror among the nations. The sea has come up on Babylon. She is covered with its tumultuous waves. Her cities have become a horror, a land of drought and a desert, a land in which no one dwells, and through which no son of man passes. And I will punish Bel and Dragon, and take out of his mouth what he has swallowed. The nations shall no longer flow to him. The wall of Babylon has fallen. Go out of her midst, my people. Let everyone save his life from the fierce anger of the Lord. Let not your heart be faint, and be not fearful at the report heard in the land. When a report comes in one year, and afterward a report in another year, and violence is in the land, and ruler is against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming when I will punish the images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be put to shame, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. And the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing for joy over Babylon. For the destroyer shall come against them out of the north, declares the Lord. Babylon must fall for the slain of Israel, just as for Babylon have fallen the slain of all the earth. You who have escaped from the sword, go, do not stand still. Remember the Lord from far away, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are put to shame, for we have heard reproach. Dishonor has covered our face, for foreigners have come into the holy places, the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will execute judgment upon her images. And through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify her strong height, yet destroyers would come from me against her, declares the Lord. A voice, a cry from Babylon, the noise of great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, for the Lord is laying Babylon waste and stilling her mighty voice. Their waves roar like many waters. The noise of their voice is raised, for a destroyer has come upon her, upon Babylon. Her warriors are taken. Their bows are broken in pieces, for the Lord is a God of recompense. He will surely repay. I will make drunk her officials and her wise men, her governors, her commanders, and her warriors. They will sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of Hosts. Thus says the Lord of Hosts, the broad wall of Babylon shall be leveled to the ground, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The peoples labor for nothing, and the nations weary themselves only for fire. The word that Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, the son of Neriah, son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Sariah was the quartermaster. Jeremiah wrote in a book all the disaster that should come upon Babylon, all these words that are written concerning Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words and say, O Lord, you have said concerning this place that you will cut it off so that nothing shall dwell in it, neither man nor beast, and it shall be desolate forever. When you finish reading this book, tie a stone to it and cast it in the midst of the Euphrates and say, thus shall Babylon sink, to rise no more because of the disaster that I am bringing upon her. And they shall become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Congregation of Christ, Jeremiah was writing when the nation of Babylon was at the height of its glory and power. He was writing when God was using Babylon to shatter the nations of the world. We read a lot of verses this morning. So let me just remind you of what God said in verses 20 through 23. The one being addressed is presumably Babylon. And God says this. He says, you are my hammer, my weapon of war. With you I break nations in pieces. With you I destroy kingdoms. With you I break in pieces the horse and the rider. With you I break in pieces the chariots and the charioteer. With you I break in pieces man and woman. With you I break in pieces the young man, the old man and the youth. With you I break in pieces the young man and the young woman. With you I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I break in pieces the farmer and his team. With you I break in pieces governors and commanders. Babylon was used as God's war hammer to shatter the order of that day and age. Judah's sin was so great that God raised up Babylon to punish it. And in punishing it, punished all the nations of that time. But Babylon itself didn't acknowledge God. It defiled God's people, God's city, and His name. And it rejoiced in doing it. And so Babylon the Shatterer must be shattered. Chapter 51 continues God's pronouncement of judgment coming on this city. Many of the points of argument are repeated from chapter 50, but there are two points in this chapter which are elaborated. The first point is about God the Creator and idols. And the second point is about fleeing Babylon. The idols and false gods of Babylon were mentioned in chapter 50. Back there in, there was just basically one verse a little bit, and it talked about Bel, it talked about Merodach. It talked about how God would bring them down. But starting in verse 15 in our chapter, Jeremiah praises God and he reveals that idols are totally false. Again, verses 15 and 16. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding stretched out the heavens. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and He makes the mist rise from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings forth the wind from His storehouses. God is the Creator of all things. It was His power which made the earth. His wisdom established the world. His understanding stretched out the heavens. Idols never created anything. They are the creations of man, without power, without wisdom, without understanding. God has a voice which causes the tumult in the waters and the heavens. When He spoke the world into existence, He used His voice. He said, "Let there be." And it came into being. God makes mist to rise from the earth. He makes the lightning. He causes the winds to blow. idols don't do anything. There's no breath in them. Those who worship idols or who make them are fools. Verses 17 through 19, every man is stupid and without knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his images are false. There's no breath in them. They're worthless, a work of delusion. At the time of their punishment, they shall perish. Not like these is the portion of Jacob, for he is the one who formed all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Idolatry is stupid, powerless, and fraudulent. And Jeremiah is carrying on a tradition found in other prophets, mocking idolatry. You'll find it in Isaiah. You'll find it in the great prophets of old. Idols are worthless, and they deceive those who look to them. They can't even begin to compare to him who's the portion of Jacob. The destruction of Babylon will bring about the destruction of their idols. The Babylonians had boasted about the power of their gods. They rejoiced in the victory of their gods over Judah and its God when Jerusalem fell and the temple was destroyed. You know what it means to an idol worshiper to see the temple of another god destroyed? It means your gods are more powerful than their god. That's what it meant to Babylon. But the God of Jacob would show himself to be the mighty creator of all. And the gods of Babylon? They'll be seen to be nothing but idols, lacking life and deceiving any and all who look to them. Well, that's the first point that's elaborated on in this long chapter. I want to focus more on the second one this morning. I think there's a good application for us. The second theme emphasized is that of fleeing Babylon. It also was mentioned in chapter 50 in verse 8, but only briefly. But here it's pressed upon Jeremiah's hearers with urgency. Verses 6 to 9 issue a call to flee from Babylon, and they give you the reason for it. Flee from the midst of Babylon, let everyone save his life, be not cut off in her punishment. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, the repayment he is rendering. Babylon was like a golden cup in the Lord's hand, making all the earth drunken. The nations drank her wine, therefore the nations went mad. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and has been broken. Wail for her, take balm for her, perhaps she'll be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she was not healed. Forsake her and let us go each to his own country, for her judgment has reached up to heaven and has been lifted up even to the skies. The reason to flee from Babylon is because God is going to destroy her. Babylon is going to suffer the judgment of heaven, and if you stay in her, you too will experience her punishment. You might wail for her. You might hope she'll be healed, but she won't be healed. You can only be spared from the judgment coming upon her by fleeing, by forsaking her entirely, each going to his own country. You must flee from the wrath that is coming upon her. And verses 45 through 50 continue the same theme. Go up. Go out of her, out of her midst, my people. Let everyone save his life from the fierce anger of the Lord. Let not your heart faint, and be not fearful at the report in the land when a report comes in one year and afterward a report in another year, and violence is in the land, ruler is against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming when I will punish the images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be put to shame, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing for joy over Babylon, for the destroyer shall come against them out of the north, declares the Lord. Babylon must fall for the slain of Israel, just as for Babylon have fallen the slain of all the earth. You who have escaped the sword, go, do not stand still. Remember the Lord from far away and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Now you wouldn't think that captives in a foreign land would have to be told to flee the land of their captivity. But after 70 years, many of the Jews who were in captivity had been born in Babylon. They'd grown up in Babylon. That was the world they knew. They knew nothing about Jerusalem other than what the old folks told them. And you know what young people think about what the old folks tell them, right? It's hard to believe how wonderful the old land is. When you're living in the greatest city in the world and all the wealth of the world is before you. Babylon was a thriving city and a developed center of culture. The Hanging Gardens, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, were in her midst. Babylon provided the best education in the world. The finest young people from Judah received that education. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah received that education there. The captives from Judah prospered in Babylon. You could earn a good living there even if you were Jewish. And after 70 years, the temptation was to stay in Babylon. Jeremiah had called on the people while they were still in Judah not to resist going to Babylon. When the false prophets were saying, Jerusalem will never fall to the Babylonians, Jeremiah told them, build houses in Babylon and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city that I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. But now, things had changed. Now was the time for Babylon to drink the cup of the judgment of the Lord. And so Jeremiah tells them that when that judgment falls, they must flee. Everything they worked for must be left behind. The fields, the gardens, the houses, their wealth. They were to return to their true land and to utterly forsake Babylon. For Babylon was doomed to be destroyed and become a desolation forever. Throughout the Bible, Babylon stands for human arrogance and its downfall. Babylon continues the desire to rule the world independently from God. That desire which had been present at the Tower of Babel. You remember, God went to work at the time of the Tower of Babel to thwart that rebellious desire. He confused human language of mankind and he brought division and disunity. Well, centuries later, when Babylon reared its head in opposition to the true God, attempting to unite humanity under its one world government, God stepped in again to bring that mighty nation down. Well, we are the children of the Tower of Babel. The desire to rule the world independently from God still continues in our hearts. We still desire to unite the world in one government, in a one world order, establishing ourselves as the gods of this world. One system to rule everybody, everywhere. But we are divided by God as part of His judgment. And like the captives of Judah before the fall of Babylon, we're living in a world which is under the judgment of God and is destined for destruction. The captives from Judah were to have a love-hate relationship with Babylon. As long as they were in it, they were to seek its good and its prosperity. They weren't to work as insurrectionists or anarchists to bring it down. They were to pray to the Lord on its behalf. But at the same time, Babylon was never to be number one in the hearts of the captives from Judah. They were to remember that they were to be there only for a time. And Jeremiah told them that it would be for 70 years. The time to return to their homeland would come. They were to live in such a way that they could leave behind in an instant all the glitter and glory of Babylon, everything they had worked so hard for those years to achieve. Believers in Jesus are like the captives of Judah living in Babylon. We live in a world which ultimately is not our home. We're citizens of another country, a far better one. And while we are in this world, we are to do good to all. We're to pray for kings and rulers and to render submission as is proper. We're to pay our taxes. We're to serve our earthly masters by working hard with all diligence. We're called to make use of the mammon of this earth, to make friends for ourselves so that when it's gone, we will be welcomed into eternal habitations. We're to love the world just as God loves the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that means we must work to bring God's salvation to as many as we come in contact with as we possibly can. But at the same time, we're to hate this world and to rejoice in its fall. We're not to love this world in which we live or to become comfortable in it. This world stands opposed to God and to His Son, Jesus, our King. And there will be many times when we will have to choose between being loyal to the world or forsaking the world in order to be loyal to Jesus. The Apostle John wrote in his first letter, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." There will be times when you will have to say no to the world and turn your back on it for the sake of being loyal to Christ. You will likely have to suffer for that and be spoken evil of falsely. Like when you turn down an invitation to attend a same-sex wedding. And harder still will it be if one of the participants is a member of your own family. Jesus said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy than me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." The world heaps scorn on those who do not submit to its ways. It would cast any who dare oppose it into the fiery furnace of its hate. This is the Babylon we continue to live in. It's a world doomed to destruction. And as the redeemed people of God in this world, we rejoice when that judgment comes. We read from Revelation 18 and 19 early in our service. The Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar is long gone, but Babylon continues as the wicked world order of this age, opposed to God, persecuting His people. It lies under the judgment of God, and the day of its destruction is drawing near. Revelation 19 is a hymn of praise that the wicked government and institutions of the world is being pulled down and destroyed. We're to rejoice in that, even as the captives of Judah rejoiced in Babylon's fall. Don't you love that part at the end of chapter 51 where Jeremiah gives to this man Sariah, by the way, trace out his genealogy, it's Baruch's brother. Baruch is the guy who did so much of the work for Jeremiah, writing things down. The same genealogy, it's listed, his father and his father's father, it's the same as Baruch. So we're assuming that Sariah is Baruch's brother here. But at the end of chapter 51, he says to Sariah, who's working with Jeremiah, when you come to Babylon, see that you read all these words and say, O Lord, you have said concerning this place that you will cut it off, so that nothing will dwell in it, neither man nor beast, and it shall be desolate forever. And when you finish reading this book, tie a stone to it, cast it in the midst of the Euphrates, and say, thus shall Babylon sink to rise no more, because of all the disaster I am bringing upon her, and they shall become exhausted. These words Jeremiah gave to Sariah to read were before, at the beginning of the captivity. But those who were in the captivity were to remember all the time they were captive there that Babylon is destined to destruction. And here's this graphic example of sinking the words in the Euphrates to show that that's what's going to happen to Babylon. Congregation of Christ, you and I are still living in Babylon. The Babylon which opposes God and His people throughout history. You must love this world you live in the same way the Lord loves it, and you must hate it in the same way that He hates it. Don't get comfortable in this world in which you live. This world is under the judgment of the Holy God, the Creator of heaven and earth. The world is still in love with its idols. Only today, the idols of our time aren't simply statues. Our idols take the form of ideologies which deny God's lordship and the lordship of His Christ. If your heart is comfortable in this world which continues in opposition to God, in this Babylon, then you won't listen to the call to flee from Babylon. Come out of her, my people, it says in verse 45. Run for your lives. Run from the fierce anger of the Lord. Or as Revelation 18:20 says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. The world is under God's judgment. And when the judgment of this world falls, your heart must not cling to this world. Your heart must be rejoicing in Christ and welcoming in the new heaven and the new earth, the inheritance of those who belong to the kingdom of Christ. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, this long chapter that the prophet Jeremiah received from you to give to the people of Judah as they went off into captivity to Babylon to remind them that the place that they were going to work so hard in to try to prosper for their own sake would be destroyed so that they would remember not to let their hearts get attached to it is a great reminder to us. For we too, Lord, are living in a Babylon that is every bit as opposed to you as was Babylon of old. Help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to remember that we are children in exile, that this world is not our home. Even though, Lord, we've grown up in it and this is what we know of, and we've tasted really some really good things in this world, let us never think that they are anything to be compared to the glories of the kingdom of which you have made us to be part of. Lord, deliver us from the idols of our day. Deliver us from the philosophies that have crept into churches and crept into our lives, Lord. The way that we think about, Lord, philosophies which the world presses upon us, which if we don't accept, they mock us. They say, you're sticking your heads in the ground. They assume these things to be true, and yet, Lord, they're absolutely opposed to your word. We know what some of them are, Lord, and for the ones that we don't know what they are, the ones that we accept unknowingly, Lord, reveal it to us. May your word be a light which illumines our hearts and shows us the truth. Thank you, Lord, that your word declares that Babylon is a defeated foe and that you reign triumphantly, reign in our lives, and may we be ready for when your Son Jesus comes in glory and in judgment to leave this world and all that's behind, all that's in it behind. And even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. In your name we pray, amen.